I'd like to read, please, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, the New Testament. After Matthew and Mark, you'll find Luke, and if you'll turn, please, to chapter 18. Luke 18, and beginning at verse 9. Luke 18 and 9. And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, right with God, and despised others. This is the story that he tells. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. A tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is the conclusion of Jesus, I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went down to his house justified, right with God, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now the setting to Jesus telling this, giving this parable, is that he's saying it to people who, Luke says, trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that they were right with God. There were people, and there still are people, who are trusting in themselves, thinking that they're righteous. Now, I was tempted to read from the Epistle to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul describes Christians as people who trusted in Christ. And there are many here in the meeting tonight, and you have put your confidence, your trust in Christ to make you right with God. And there really are only those two choices. You either are, in this meeting, trusting in yourself to be right with God, or you have put your trust in Christ, who makes a sinner right with God. And only Christ can. He is the one who Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, he is the one who suffered for our sins. The just one in the place of the unjust, the unrighteous, in order that he might bring us to God. And he did it by his suffering. He did it by his death. He did so by his resurrection. So in this meeting, can I just ask everyone here, just to think about this question. Are you trusting in yourself to be right with God? Or are you trusting Christ? Which is it? So Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people, made up of many people who were trusting in themselves that they were right with God. And so he tells this story with a bit of a surprise ending, as many of the stories that Jesus told have. He tells the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And these men couldn't be any more different. But we're all like one of them. We're all like one of them. But they were different. First of all, they were different in their professions. Their professions were different. Listen, I want you to think about the Pharisee. The Pharisee's job, if you will, was to be a religious figure, a religious leader in Israel. And he was considered among the religious elite in Israel. He was way up here. And the Pharisees were known for being very careful, pious observers of the Old Testament law, and they had committed much of it to memory. They could quote large sections of Scripture, and sadly, I don't know how many of them knew what they were reading, because they were so extreme about things, they had missed the whole point of the law. And Jesus would, of course, say, and the New Testament says that the point of the whole law was to show us our failure before God, to show us our sin before God. But this man, he was a Pharisee. He was among the religious elite in Israel to a general Jewish audience. In the first century, the Pharisee was the cream of Hebrew society. He was way up here, and everybody else was way down here, especially this other figure in the story. The publican? The tax collector? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you like the IRS, because some of you might work for the IRS, I'm not sure. But it was far worse, okay, than working for the IRS. That's fine if you work for the IRS. Please don't audit me. Rather than being the cream of Hebrew society, the tax collector among Israel, he would be considered the scum of Hebrew society. And here's why. Because Rome imposed taxes on its conquered peoples. And here is a conquered people. But the collection of those taxes was delegated to private contractors, private Roman contractors. And these tax farmers, if you will, in order to collect the monies that were due to them, they would hire Jewish deputies to do the actual dirty work. Okay, so they're going door to door and they're doing the collecting. And their pay for their work was whatever they could extort out of the taxpayer. Now keep in mind, these are fellow Jews then, as the collectors, cheating their own people to pay taxes to the Roman government. They were considered to be religious and political traitors to Jewish society. They were actually tax collectors, publicans, they were disallowed from public office. They were barred from giving testimony in court. You can't trust what these men say. They cheat people all the time just to pad their pockets. They can't give testimony in court. They were outcast. They were the scum of Jewish society. And so one of the men in the story is an upstanding, religious, pious figure, and the other is stereotypically now a scoundrel. It's a good guy, bad guy type of story. And Jesus says these two men went to the temple to pray, and his listeners would probably think, well, it's a good thing that publican went to pray because he sure needs to. So their professions were different. Second, their postures were different. They go to pray and look at the Pharisee. Jesus said he's standing by himself, right? And whenever you look at what we read about the publican standing far away, and this man standing by himself, it gives you the impression here's a man who is in a class by himself. He is, and I imagine he's probably standing very close to the altar. I'll try to make that point, my case, a little bit more later on based on what the publican says. But he's standing in relation close to the altar and as close as he can to the holy place, because he's so close to God. This Pharisee, this religious elite figure in Israel, is so close to the Lord. And so that's where he's standing. He's standing by himself in a very prominent location. The publican, where does he stand? Well, Jesus said he stands at a distance, far away from everybody else. Well, in fact, he won't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He just doesn't feel worthy. And Jesus said that he's beating on his chest as he speaks to the Lord. And that was something that was done out of sorrow or brokenness. Here is a man that is broken because of his sin, and his very posture reflects that attitude of his heart. And so you have one man over here near to the presence of where they thought the presence of God was, and he's standing like this by himself. And then you have another man, he won't even get close, and he's kind of just down on the ground like this. Their postures were different. This Pharisee, he wants to be seen, and he wants to be heard, not necessarily by God, but by other people. So their postures were different. Their professions were different. But this is the most noticeable difference of all that you'll see. Their prayers were different. Jesus said that the men went to the temple to pray. So listen to their prayers. What do they pray? Look at the Pharisee's prayer. He's standing there all by himself. He wants people to hear him, by the way. He says, God, good start. God, I thank you. That's good too. Good to be thankful, right? Always good to have a thankful heart. God, I thank you. And it goes downhill from there. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I imagine he's praying quite loudly because a man who wants to be seen is also a man that wants to be heard. And just imagine these loud public statements as people are passing by. Can you imagine the arrogance here? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, not like the many thieves we have in society, not like these despicable, dishonest people that are in our vicinity, not like those who commit adultery. God, I thank you that I haven't been caught in some awful sexual scandal. And God, thank you too that I'm not like this tax collector over here. Interestingly, he points out the tax collector. He doesn't pray for him. Went to the temple to pray. Would have been nice if he just said, Lord, pray for this man, whatever his need is. He obviously is very troubled, and he's obviously feeling at a distance from you. Lord, remember this man. No, he's not interested in praying for him. He's just trying to size himself up and say, oh, I am glad I'm not as wretched as this man is. This Pharisee, I'll tell you, he's quite some man. He is quite some man, a man to be held in very high esteem. And he feels that a man like this, God should be thanked for making such a man like this to be walking on planet Earth. And if nobody else will thank God for him, then he'll just thank God himself for himself. Right? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. It's quite ridiculous. And he begins to compare himself with other people, right? I'm not like. And God, I'm glad I'm not like. You ever do that? You start to, maybe you've allowed yourself to think about what you think are religious matters or spiritual things. You allow yourself to think about the Bible and God and where you're going to be forever and Christ and who he was and why he went to the cross. You start to allow yourself to think about these things. And you know what you do? You start thinking about, well, I'm glad I'm not like her. And I'm glad I'm not like him. Starts to compare himself with other people. Sure, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad a sinner as so-and-so. And people start to come into our mind. Notice the kind of people that he compared himself to. You notice the kind of people he doesn't say, God, I realize I'm not like Abraham. He doesn't say, God, I realize I'm not like Daniel was. I'm not like Noah who pleased God. I'm not like Enoch who walked with God. I'm not like Daniel who stood for God. He doesn't compare himself to those kind of people. No. Those will just condemn me. I will compare myself with people that are obviously more sinful. Well, anybody can do that. It doesn't take much creative genius, right? Is the way to be right with God to find somebody worse than you? And why do you do it? Why do we do it? I want to jump into the story when he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like so-and-so. I want to jump in and go, yeah, so? And what about it? You might not be, but so what? And that's his sin. What about your sin? He compares himself with other people. The Apostle Paul wrote that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10. The way to be right with God is not to find someone more sinful than you are. Anybody can do that. And I guess then everybody's right with God, except for maybe one person, right? That's not the way to be made right with God. He's not finished his prayer yet. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Thank you for making me. I'm glad I'm not like that extortioner. I'm not like that cheater. I'm not like that adulterer. I'm not like, he's opening an eye now. I'm not like that publican over there. He's not done. I fast twice a week. He's supposed to be talking to God. He's telling God information now about his past. He's telling God things that happened during the week. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This is quite some man here that we're being introduced to. And imagine he's making these loud statements here at the temple, near the altar. I this, and I that, and I... It's hard to imagine packing more personal prayer pronouns into a prayer than this man has done, right? But he does it. And I don't know if he thought this was a prayer, or I'm not really sure. But he's thanking God for himself and all the things that he has done. And it sounds more like a resume than a prayer. And I'm not really sure what he's applying for, if it is. Right? I this and I that. You want to give the man a round of applause for all of the great things that he has done. And his prayer ends with not a single request being made. Because he went to pray, but he never prayed. He never asked for anything because he didn't think that he needed anything. What a shame. He wasn't right with God. He thought that he was right with God. He was trusting in himself that he was right with God. Is there somebody here tonight? And this is you. Maybe not to this extent. But you say, oh, I try to do the best that I can. And I try to come to church services every once in a while. And I've tried to read the Bible. I've even prayed to God. Maybe you even prayed twice this week. And I've done this and I've done... Listen. Those who trust in themselves that they're right. Listen, you're not going to be right. You're not right with God. You need to be made right with God. Listen to the publican's prayer then. Listen to this tax collector's prayer. What does he say? He starts out the same. He says, verse 13, he says, God, and from here on out, is different. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. No list of good deeds or achievements. God, I've done this and this. No. God's not interested in that. Listen, God's not interested in the little list you might have compiled together. Can't be made right with God by your works. Not a list of good deeds or achievements. Probably not I don't imagine that it was a very loud prayer. He's just kind of slinking away in the corner over here, just speaking very quietly to God. The good thing is, you know what? God isn't deaf. You don't have to yell to get God's attention. He can hear you. He can hear you without even whispering. As you're in your chair tonight, you could just speak to him in the quietness of your own heart. He'll hear you. He doesn't compare himself with other people. Know what he did? Did the wisest thing any of us can do. He made a comparison. But he doesn't compare himself with other people. He compares himself to God's righteous standard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That, he says, I failed. I cannot attain to the glory of God. I can't meet God's standard. God's standard for heaven is absolute perfect righteousness, and I don't have it. I'm far, far short. He compares himself to the standard of God. And what does he say? He says, God be merciful. God be merciful. The word here for mercy is not the same that we will often find in the New Testament when people come to Jesus and say, have mercy on me. It's the word, he's thinking of atonement. He's thinking of atonement. And if that's a hard word, I'll just say it like this. He's thinking about cleansing. Is that okay? He's thinking about cleansing. Why would he be thinking about cleansing? Because there's an altar there that people brought animals to that altar, and the blood of those animals was shed to provide a cleansing. And that's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about his sin. He's thinking about how far short he has come from God's standard and that he could never meet it. And he's thinking about cleansing from his sin, and he wants to be made right with God. And so he says, God be propitious to me. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He would receive that cleansing, we'll note in a moment. But look at the end of his prayer. He does describe himself, by the way, but not anything like the Pharisee described himself. The Pharisee used all those words. Remember, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men. I am not. I have not done this, and I do this, and I do that. He says, I've just got one word for me. He described himself with one word. Sinner. Sinner. I think the NASB translation has, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the sinner. Is there anybody here tonight and you'll say, yeah, it's me. I'm the sinner. I'm the one who has broken God's laws. I know God's word says I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that. And I have. I've sinned. I've broken the law of God. And listen, my friend, if you die in your sins, you will be separated from God forever. You're separated from God now. What a tragedy to die in your sins and be separated forever. Here's a man who realizes his need and he says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He realizes he needs atonement. He needs cleansing. His prayer was far different. Their prayers were different. Finally, their positions before God were different, weren't they? Jesus gives the shocking conclusion. I think the men are listening to the prayer of this, what they might think is quite a simpleton. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, oh, by the way, the one that went home right with God was that one. Wasn't the religious Pharisee? He didn't go home right with God? No, he didn't. He wasn't right with God to begin with. And he still wasn't. He was still not right with, not justified, not right with God. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house, Jesus says, justified rather than the other. The Pharisee left the way that he came, not right with God. Can I ask you, are you going to leave the way you came, not right with God? You don't need to. Christ has come. Christ went to a cross. And he shed his blood for the atonement, for the cleansing that we needed for sin. Those animal sacrifices really couldn't do the job. But Christ came as a final sacrifice for sins. And on the cross he said, it's finished. And his blood was shed. You might remember that a soldier with a spear pierced his side. And out from the side of Jesus flowed his precious blood. And it's, as John said, that's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. He's the one that you need to make you right with God. And he's the only one that can make you right with God. Pharisee left, not right with God. Because Christ came, he didn't come to call the righteous, the self-righteous. He said he came to call sinners to repentance. So you have to qualify for this. This tax collector qualified. He said it. He says, I'm the sinner. Anybody here qualify to be made right with God? You have to be a sinner. We're not made right with God by a list of good deeds. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not made right with God by a list of good deeds, nor by finding someone worse than we are. So you don't need to keep trying to think of someone worse than you are. We are made right with God on the basis of an atoning sacrifice. The man who told this story, Jesus Christ, would soon go to an altar himself and put himself down upon it. He knew an atoning sacrifice was needed for sins. He knew a sacrifice was needed that God would accept and that would once for all provide atonement for every sinner. And he went. And that altar was the cross of Christ, where he gave himself in our place. He shed his blood so that we might be cleansed from sin. If we could be made right with God by doing good things and being proud that we're not like this person or that person or that. You tell me why Jesus came into the world. You tell me, you know what? The Bible tells us why Christ came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like this man. And I raise my hand and say, like this man. This is why you must trust in Christ in order to be made right with God, because only Christ has done the work to save us. So can I ask you as I sit down, are you trusting in yourself to be right with God? You're going to fail miserably, tragically, and lose your soul. Why not trust in Christ? He can make you right with God. Only he can make you right with God. Many of us here once cried out like that tax collector. Maybe we didn't use the same words, but some of you, you don't have to go back very far. It was just maybe a couple weeks ago. Thank God for that. Maybe you just remember saying, God, I'm just a sinner. Just a sinner. You know something? I still am. But I'm a sinner, saved by grace, a forgiven sinner, and you can be tonight. If you're not right with God tonight, don't leave the way you came. Go home to your house justified, right with God, on the basis of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ.